Well, guys, we're going to be in Hosea chapter 13 today, if you want to get your Bibles ready. I want to be the first one to say it, Happy New Year, because, you know, I won't see you tomorrow, so Happy New Year today. Welcome to Engage Church, and really and truly, I really hope that everyone had a wonderful Christmas this past week, and I hope you were surrounded by those that you love, and maybe you didn't want to be around those that you love. Maybe you just wanted some downtime, and I hope you got the downtime that you needed. Today, we're going to close out the fastest year that I've ever experienced. Did anyone else feel like 2023 just zipped by? Does anybody know where 2023 went? Because I don't. It just seems like it's the fastest year that I have lived so far in my life. Tomorrow, we wake up to a new day, right? 2024. It's another day. It's another year. It's filled with all the same busyness that yesterday was filled with. Anybody busy yesterday? Right? It's the same thing. It's just another day. I'm not really one to make New Year's resolutions, and I don't know if you are, but fun fact for you, did you know that only 9% of resolutions made are completed? Anyone know that? 9%. 26% are ended in the first 2 weeks, and 49% are done by January 31st. And so we don't have a great track record on resolution, but I'm not really one to make a New Year resolution. I don't think that they're worth it because a lot of times we set our goals too high and we make it complicated for ourselves. So instead of pushing for a resolution this year, I want to encourage us to start the new year instead with a purpose. With a purpose. Not a goal to fail, but a purpose to fulfill. I've had a word written on my whiteboard in my office for about 10 months now. If you've been to my office, it's over at the Rock Center upstairs. I've got a big whiteboard on my wall, and I've had a word written on that whiteboard for about 10 months, believing that it was something that the Lord said, we're going to talk about this at some point. But I never felt like it fit in a series. It didn't belong in a series, and it was never the right time to share it until today. And I pray that we're challenged today with this word. And I pray that we step into 2024 with a purpose and a plan for our walk with God in 2024. The word that's been on my whiteboard is not, I don't care. That's three words. The word that has been on my whiteboard is apathy. And apathy is defined. There's two definitions for it I want to share. The first one is absence or suppression of passion, emotion, or excitement. The second is lack of interest in or concern for things that others find moving or exciting. So to summarize and put it in a sentence, I don't care. I don't care is apathy. Apathy is not the same as ignorance or I don't know. It's not the same as complacency, which is I am satisfied with the current status. And apathy is not laziness, I don't feel like doing anything. Apathy is I don't care. I believe that God wants us to start the new year by leaving behind apathy when it comes to our relationship with Him. I don't care towards God. Today we're going to be in Hosea chapter 13, verse 6, and I hope you have your Bible with you. If not, make it a purpose in 2024 next Sunday to do what? Bring your Bible with you. There might be candy next week. I don't know. Bring your Bible and find out next week. And I hope you have your Bible, and if you don't, I hope your neighbor has one that you can look on with. Open it up to Hosea chapter 13. It's in the Old Testament. It is after the Old Testament books of Ezekiel and right after the book of Daniel is where you will find 14 chapters of Hosea. Now, as you're turning there, I feel like I need to take time to summarize the purpose of the book of Hosea because we need context for our verse because we're one verse today. Is what we're looking at. But we need context to the whole book of Hosea to understand what this is. So here's the purpose of Hosea. Hosea's prophecy was God's last-ditch effort to call the Israelites to repentance. It was His last call for them to stop their continued rebellion and the inner desire to follow false gods. to renew. It was also to call them to renew their devotion to Him, the one true God, before He pronounced full judgment for their sins. The book of Hosea was written to reveal that God continued to love His covenant people, and He deeply desired to rescue them from their rebellion and restore His relationship with them, and that tragic consequences are in store for people who stubbornly disobey God and reject His love. How true is that? We see that throughout Scripture. Look at Jonah and the city of Nineveh. Look at the Egyptians. We can look and see multiple times through Scripture God's patient love waiting for the people to come back to Him. In Hosea, God is rebuking the Israelites for spiritual apathy. And we're going to see what that looks like here this morning. Let's get to our Scripture. Hosea chapter 13, verse 6. It's really long, so listen here. But when they had grazed, they became full. They were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Key phrase right here. Therefore, they forgot me. Therefore, they forgot me. Me being the Lord. So the question that I think we have to answer today, that we need to answer, is how could they forget God? The one who delivered them from Egypt, the one who fed them in the wilderness, dropped manna from heaven, the one who opened the highway, making highways out of seas, as the song we just sang, and many other ways that God was working in powerful ways for them. He had put out for them, and they saw all of His glory. They saw the fire, they saw the clouds. They saw God's glory every day. So how could this people forget the Lord? How can we forget the Lord? How can we forget the Lord when we know our wicked, sinful state that God saved us from? How can we forget the Lord? How can our hearts and our minds be changed? Because I am a new creation in the Lord. We are all new creation. So our hearts and our minds have been changed. Our addictions have been freed. Relationships miraculously healed by God. And yet we find ourselves forgetting about Him. It seems it's just as it was then and always will continue to be. Spiritual apathy. Apathy. Sometimes it creeps in unnoticed, even though God is at work powerfully in our life, even amongst the Israelites and His repeated calls for them to repent and to come back to Him. And apathy is still present. Apathy still takes a root in their lives. Even in our lives today. James addresses this concept of apathy in James chapter 4, verse 17. And it says this: so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. James 4, 17. Notice that the problem here is not ignorance. I don't know. Since he does know. Because it says, for whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it. So he knows what to do, but it's apathy. He just doesn't care. When we know the right thing to do and we fail to do it, I would submit to you it's because we don't care. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, and as church-attending believers, we know the right thing to do. We know the right thing to do. We know the right things to say. We know what we need to do when it comes to our relationship with God. We know that we need to be in the Bible. We need to be reading. We need to be praying. We need to be worshiping. We need to be serving. We need to be in Sunday school. We need to surround ourselves with opportunity to further develop our relationship with the Lord. If we look at, if you were in Sunday school this morning, the video that we shared, the speaker is talking about that love relationship between a couple. You don't have to pencil in time to make sure you love your spouse. Rather, you pencil in time to do the things you need to do because you love your spouse. You see where I'm going? What is it like in our relationship with the Lord? In spite of knowing what we should do, apathy can creep in and it can prevail and it can prevent us from doing the things that we need to do. You might be sitting here this morning hearing this thinking, well, I don't need to hear this message. I don't have apathy. It's wonderful. But you might be sitting here and you might have the attitude this morning, I don't care. I don't care about this. I'm only here because I was drugged here or I was forced here. I don't care. Do you find yourself not caring about things anymore? To help us fight and overcome spiritual apathy, I have a few things that I want to share with you this morning that can help us prevail, that can help us rid apathy, and can also help us fulfill our God-given purpose. The first and foremost is to admit it and give it to Jesus. Admit it and give it to Jesus. When someone doesn't care about something that they should care about, it's hard for them to admit it. Why? Because really they just don't care. Do you see how that works? It's hard for them to admit that they don't care because really they just don't care. Maybe you've noticed that you don't care as much about things. Maybe you've been in your relationship with the Lord for 15 years and who knows the last time you picked up your Bible or even muttered a word to Him in prayer. And it seems like you're going through the motions, I would ask, do you care? Because how would that relationship work if that's how we approached it with our loved ones? What if we approached our family in that same nonchalant, I don't care attitude? Now, if you have noticed, it's a really good thing. If you've noticed you're in that spot where you're struggling to care about things, it's a good thing, and here's why. Because you can't deal with it until you recognize that something needs to be dealt with. You can't deal with apathy unless you identify that you have apathy. So here's what we do. Once we recognize that we have apathy towards God, it's time to take action. It's time to strap up the boots, if you will, and take action. First and foremost, it starts with faith. Faith that what Jesus did on the cross is sufficient. Faith that what He did on the cross is sufficient to forgive your apathy, to forgive all your sins, and make you holy. Did you know that the cross is enough? One and done. Every sin is covered by the cross. Just like any sin that we have in our life, apathy needs to be confessed. So we must repent of apathy. Giving it to Jesus, here's what giving it to Jesus does. It allows His blood to wash it away. Just like His blood washes away our sin and reconciled us to God, He can wash away the sin of apathy. He can help us with this attitude of, I don't care. Now, as a note, I need you to hear me on this. The next couple things that I'm about to share, they're going to sound, and they will be, nothing but legalistic and self-righteous effort unless the gospel is truly understood and applied to this sin of apathy in our lives. If we are unwilling to put the understanding of the gospel in effect over at, then what I'm about to say just sounds like busy work in the church. It's legalism. Listen, that's not what we're doing today. We have to truly understand the gospel, apply it to our sins, know that we walk in freedom, and because of that freedom, now we can start dealing with the issues around apathy or around whatever sin it is that we struggle with in our life. The second thing that we do is we put in the work. Nothing comes free, right? Isn't that a saying? Nothing's free. What does it all require? Work, effort, ability. Having admitted and giving apathy to Jesus. So now we've admitted that we have apathy, we are giving it to Jesus, and in return, we receive His grace, because His grace is sufficient. Now, when all of that has taken place, now we must put in the work. We have to put forth an effort. Now, this is work that is not of our own. It is work that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, because here's the truth. Our work will always fall short. Our work is never good enough in our relationship with the Lord. It is by relying on the Holy Spirit that our work is worth it, because the Holy Spirit empowers us. So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Here's what put in the work means. It means forcing ourselves to do things at first. Forcing yourself to do things. Like learning to tie your shoe. Who learned to tie their shoe without mom and dad forcing you? Anybody? Okay, one person. Listen, I cheat. I got these nice slip-on shoes that just look like they're tied all the time, and I just come in here and slide them on Sunday mornings. I don't tie my shoes. I do on other shoes, just not these. But you don't learn how to tie your shoe until you've sat down, you've forced yourself to learn. You'll never learn. You'll never change. So to fight apathy, it means that we force ourselves to do a few things. To force ourselves to be in God's Word through reading and through listening to biblical preaching, and forcing ourselves to be in meaningful prayer. Forcing ourselves to be discipled. Forcing ourselves to be in Sunday school. Forcing ourselves to do devotions every day. Forcing ourselves to be in an intentional relationship with the Lord. So God uses reading and the proclamation of His Word, what you're hearing today, the proclamation of Scripture, to help us prevail over all kinds of sins, including apathy. God's Word is readily available at all times. If you don't have a Bible at home, do you have a phone? If you have a smartphone and you don't have a Bible, guess what? You still have access to God's Word. We have readily available access at all times to consume and to listen to biblical soul-stirring preaching 24/7. There's no excuse. If I don't have a shoe, I can't learn how to tie a shoe, right? We have our Bibles 24/7. We have ability to listen to sermons 24/7. The question is, do we see the importance of His Word and how God can use it to reshape our desires for His glory? Are we able to recognize that we need this to grow in our relationship with Him? I love this analogy on the subject. This applies to me. It also might apply to you. I don't know, but for the holiday season, it applies to me. Just as a glutton should force himself to exercise and quit eating so much, so apathetic Christians must force themselves to consume God's Word through reading and preaching. I'm talking about eating too much in the holiday season. It is a choice to do that, right? No one's forcing me to put another chip in my mouth. That's me, right? No one's forcing us to not be in God's Word. No one's forcing us to not utter words of prayer and praise to Him. So we have to force ourselves to exercise. Okay? We have to put in the work. Now, I have here a chronological Bible reading plan. Guess what's starting tomorrow? Churchwide Bible reading plan. They're back there on the table. I printed 50 copies. If that's not enough, while we're eating lunch, I'll run over to my office and I'll print more copies for you. This is a everyday Bible reading plan. 2 years ago, or a year ago, 2022, we did a 5-day-a-week Bible reading plan. This is 7 days a week Bible reading plan, so it's less reading per day. But we're going to go through this. If you don't want to do this, find another Bible plan to be in. Here's what's important, that you're in Scripture. If you're not in Scripture, get this, and let's read it together as a body. I'm going through this. I'm going to do it with you. I encourage you to pick one up. And here's the great part. We're going to be reading the same thing every day. Guess what happens when we get together at coffee time on Sunday mornings? We get to talk about everything we just read because we're all reading the same thing. We get to hear how the Lord revealed things to us, to this and that, and have conversations. This can only do one thing. Bring us closer in relationship to the Lord. Isn't that what it's all about? So I want to encourage each and every one of us to get in the Word. If you're not going to do this Bible plan, start a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, guess what? It will not happen. I like to say I'm ruled by my calendar. My wife tells me we got XYZ happening. What do I commonly say? If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't exist. Because I'm ruled by that calendar because of everything that we have going on and the directions I'm pulled. If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen. If there's no plan in place, it does not happen. Here's the second part of put in the work. Just like we have to force ourselves to be in God's Word, we have to force ourselves to listen to Scripture. Listen, if you miss a Sunday, we have all of our sermons online, newsharonag.org. Of course, that website's going to be changing soon, but for right now, it's newsharonag.org. We will have CDs sitting. We'll have a couple of CDs each week from back there on the table. There's literally no reason why you can't listen to the sermons if you've missed them. There's also no reason why you can't go find another biblical preacher to also supplement and listen and make sure you are hearing and receiving God's Word. But just like we have to force ourselves to be in His Word, we have to force ourselves to be in meaningful prayer. Now that almost doesn't make sense. It's an odd thing to say, force meaningful prayer. Because generally, when you force it, what does it lack? Meaningfulness. When your kids fight and you make them say sorry, how meaningful is that apology? I see lots of people smiling. Y'all know. It's not a very meaningful apology. It's because you had to. Now, there's a reason for this. You may say you don't care about praying right now. Maybe you've been hurt or something tragic has happened in your life and you're struggling or you're blaming God for it or whatever the case is, you just don't care about praying right now. You might have a lack of interest in prayer. Why do I need to pray? I don't get this. Why do I need to pray? Or maybe you haven't started praying because you don't know how to pray. Here's what you got to take away from today. You have to push yourself. You have to force yourself to get alone with God. We clear our mind. As our Sunday school this morning, we get in our private room. We shut the door. We're intentional. We make way for the Holy Spirit to help us speak to God, to know how to pray and what to say. Now, I will say this. Prayer can be impossibly difficult. If you've ever been in a spot where you just don't know, it's hard to start muttering those words. Uttering those words. Trust me, I've been there. I know. But it's even more impossibly difficult for those who have apathy. For those who just say, I don't care. This may not apply to everybody, but this was the best correlation that I could come up with. Like bench pressing your record. It's going to take everything you have to pump that iron, right? You don't hit a record without giving it everything you have. The same way it may take everything within you to utter one sentence to God. That's enough. It's enough. If you want to bench press 300 pounds, what do you have to do? Simple answer is lift it, right? Pick it up. But the true answer is practice. It takes time to build that muscle and to develop. So if you want to be in a meaningful prayer, what do you have to do? Practice. Good job, whoever answered that. Practice. Because here's the thing, there's no shortcuts. However, Jesus provides a roadmap for us. And it's to start with the Lord's Prayer. And this is from Matthew chapter 6. 9 through 13. If you don't know how to approach God and start praying the Scripture. Pray this every day until you start to get used to speaking to God, and then you can start praying about other things. Jesus says, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. There's a key there, just FYI. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't know how to pray? Right there. Write that down. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Church, we can all rid ourselves. If you have it, if you don't, then I'm not talking to you, and today's message wasn't for you. But we can rid spiritual apathy by making prayer and reading a purpose for 2024. We can make our purpose be to have a closer relationship with the Lord in 2024. And here's the truth of it. Any one of us can overcome spiritual apathy through Christ. It is through Christ that all sins are forgiven, that we come through everything, we're made a new creature, so we can overcome spiritual apathy through Christ. Now, we have somebody who would prefer that we not get rid of apathy. Satan would prefer, and he would actually love for all of us to be so spiritually apathetic. Listen, Satan prefers and would love for all of us to be so spiritually apathetic that none of us are useful ever again in the kingdom of God. He would rather render us useless in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be useful. I want to be useful in God's kingdom. So what do? We can call an audible. That's base, or a football term, baseball term. I knew it wasn't a base, a football term, audible. You can call an audible, and each one of us can decide to run to the cross of Christ. We can call an audible, and each one of us can cast our apathy on Him. We can repent of it. We can receive His grace. You can decide, or you can force yourself. Listen, it's a choice, or we're making ourselves because we need to get to the point where we're doing it. You can force yourself to listen to sermons. You can force yourself to read His Word, to be in prayer, to pray for the chains of apathy to be released. You can pray for, you can force yourself to be in devotions every day. You can force yourself to come for Sunday school. You can force yourself to surround yourself around other Christians. Ultimately, it's up to you. It has nothing to do with me. I can't make you do anything. But let me ask you, do you have the attitude of I don't care? Right now, today, at this moment, you can fight, and with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you can win the spiritual battle that you were in. And here's the truth of it. Stacy and Emma, if you guys want to come up. The truth of it is engaging our community for Jesus. This is our mission statement. This is what we live and thrive for. This statement cannot have an ounce of apathy behind it. It cannot have an ounce of apathy, because here's what happens if it does. Our work as a body, it becomes self-fulfilling work. Self-righteous work. It's disingenuous, and it will not reveal the gospel message to those who need to hear it. So church, as we close out 2023, I encourage us to make 2024 our year of purpose. Leave apathy behind. Let's leave the attitude of I don't care behind in 2023. Today is the last day of I don't care when it comes to your relationship with the Lord. If you would just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. I know that this is a tough message to hear. It was a tough message to write. But it's a message that needs to be preached. It's a message that the Lord has worked on in the course of 9 to 10 months. The truth of the gospel is Jesus is the only way to heaven. Our best efforts of being good, of being kind and caring, they always, always leave us short of entering God's presence. There's no work. There's literally no work that you can work hard enough at to be able to gain eternal life. Instead, we submit to Jesus as Savior, as Lord. We rid ourselves of apathy towards Him and say yes enthusiastically. It is through Him that all sins are forgiven. It is through Him that we are made new. It is through Him that we are made righteous. It is through Him that we have the promise and the hope of eternal life. Church, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you don't have that relationship with the Lord this morning, and you're so stirred to respond to this morning, if you would like to step into a relationship with the Lord Jesus, would you please just raise your hand this morning? Amen. Anybody else? Church, let's pray together. And as we say this prayer, know this. It has nothing to do with the words we're about to say. So you can repeat this prayer and not mean an ounce of it. Guess what? You didn't mean an ounce of it. Because I don't care. It's about the condition of our heart. Submitting our lives. It's about humbling ourselves before the Lord and saying yes to Him. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for the work of the cross. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me new. Change me. Use me for your purposes. Help me to rid my life of any sin. Thank you. From this moment on, I call you Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I just, listen. We had one person raise their hand. We had a second person raise their hand in response to this. There are two names added to the Book of Life. Testimony. The Lord Jesus has plucked you out of your life of sin, shame, and eternal separation from Him. And now you have the hope of eternity in His presence. Tell somebody today. Find somebody and tell them, I stepped into a relationship with the Lord today. Church, as we get ready to close, have you let apathy sneak in? Have you let apathy come in and impact your relationship with God? Do you find yourself not caring? Do you find yourself just shrugging it off when you miss a day of reading or you miss a time of prayer with God? Or if you miss church or if you miss Sunday school, whatever it is, you just find yourself, oh, it's no big deal, I don't care. Have you let apathy go so deep into your relationship with God that it's unrecognizable? There's hope. You can change that today. Humbly approach God. Repent and seek Him. I encourage you to come to the altar in prayer and worship and let Him fully take it from you. But for Him to fully take it, what do we have to do? We have to fully surrender before Him. We have to give it to Him. The cross is enough to take away your burden, shame, and guilt. As the worship team plays for us, church, would you respond to God's Spirit this morning? Would you respond to His message this morning? Can you be bold enough to say, today is the day that apathy is no longer in my life? Will your purpose in 2024 be to choose God? So as the worship team plays for us this morning, I'd like us to take just a few minutes to respond to His presence and to His message. Amen.